When cooking with gas is wise economics.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. When we complain about the price of gas, we mean, of course, gasoline, because it's tough to complain about the price of natural gas these days, which has now dropped below $2 per 1,000 cubic feet, the lowest in a decade. Marketplace's Eve Tro at our sustainability desk has been looking into this and joins us live. Good morning, Eve.
Good morning.
So why is natural gas so cheap right now?
Well, one word, it's a fun one to say, fracking. This controversial method of fracturing rock to get at natural gas, you may have heard about it. Drilling companies have gotten so good at it that now we have a glut of natural gas. And while there's talk of building systems to export it or use it to run more cars, that'll take years. The best way to use what we have on hand is power plants. That's what energy analyst Amber McCullough at Wood Mackenzie says.
Basically, the gas price has to fall low enough to incentivize utilities to use gas instead of coal. That's where demand can come from on an immediate basis.
So natural gas instead of coal, but what does that do to the broader energy market?
Well, as you said, it doesn't do anything for gas prices at the pump. It can lower our electricity bills, since utilities can pretty easily switch back and forth from coal-fired power plants to natural gas ones. But these low prices may not stick, because the drilling companies are happy to slow down production, let the power companies eat up all that extra supply. It's just not worth the trouble at these prices to do the fracking. It's a tough technology. Lots of people want the regulations on it, and that would make fracking here more expensive. And as for that dream of exporting it, which would make American companies more money, doesn't look so hot, as China and other parts of the world are learning how to do this fracking thing, too. They won't need our natural gas.
All right. Marketplace's Eve Tro. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
During the economic crisis, while banks were making it tougher for small businesses to get loans, many credit unions went the other way. They increased lending. And now some credit unions are pushing Congress to let them do more commercial lending, but regular banks think this is a terrible idea. Elizabeth Wynn Johnson reports.
The Senate is getting ready to vote on a bill that would more than double the amount that credit unions can devote to small business loans, according to credit union lobbyist John McGill.
It would put $13 billion into the coffers of small businesses that aren't otherwise getting loans and at no cost to taxpayers.
Can't argue with that, right? Paul Mirsky of the Independent Community Bankers of America can. He says credit unions are trying to exploit their tax-exempt status to compete unfairly with local lenders.
All you're doing is cutting into federal revenues, state and local revenues, by displacing tax-paying community bank service with the tax-exempt credit union service.
In addition, he says, credit unions have fewer regulatory requirements, which could mean greater risk. The Senate could vote on the credit union lending bill any time in the next few weeks. Until then, it's an all-out David versus Goliath battle, with both sides claiming to be David. In Washington, I'm Elizabeth Wynn Johnson for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. The FTSE 100 index in London is pretty much unchanged at this point. The DAX index in Germany currently up about 0.5%. China's benchmark Shanghai Composite Index went up 1.8% overnight. China's quarterly economic growth numbers are due Friday. If those reflect slowing, China could tweak policies to help boost things along. And if you don't like the economy here, move to Australia. Word today that Australian employment moved past everybody's expectations, with the jobless rate there just 5.2%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Chartered Global Management Accountant designation CGMA, established by the AICPA and CEMA, cgma.org, and by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 65 years, massmutual.com/retirestrong.
Today, let's look at what's affectionately known as the time suck. How much time we devote to technology is the subject of our weekly attitude check.
And the latest poll number suggests margin of error.
There is somewhat of a disconnect.
It's conventional wisdom.
Our survey said.
Frank Newport is editor-in-chief at the polling firm Gallup. He joins us every Thursday. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, David.
So I've done a survey of one, me, and I'm using technology 4 hours a day outside of work. Is that bizarre, typical?
Well, what we know is that a lot of younger Americans are really worried about spending too much time using screens. That's what we call them. That would be using their phones, smartphones, or using the internet. In fact, we were really surprised at this. Startling results. Almost 6 in 10 18 to 29-year-olds told us that they feel guilty. They spend too much time using their cell phone or their smartphone, and they spend too much time using the internet. And almost half say they spend too much time on social media sites such as Facebook.
The question then becomes when the guilt matures into doing something about it.
Well, that's absolutely the question. I was wondering, are we going to have a backlash? Well, we have young Americans saying too much. I'm going to stop. You know, we're going to have screen-free days and Silicon Valley is going to collapse. You know, in our research, we have asked people who smoke, do you smoke too much? Oh, absolutely. I shouldn't be smoking at all. I should quit. We ask overweight people, how do you feel? Oh, I should be losing weight. So a lot of people know they're doing something that's wrong, but whether or not they're able to change this is the real question. So we don't know if young people ultimately are going to stop looking at those screens so much. We just know that right now they think they're spending too much time doing it.
Is there a split between genders here?
There really wasn't much difference between men and women. There was a difference by education, which was interesting. In general, people aren't as concerned about doing too much email. However, email is related to education. If you have a college degree or a postgraduate degree, that's where you get higher and higher in turn worry about you're spending too much time on email. So education is a variable in there. But men and women look like they're about the same in terms of worry about spending too much time staring at those screens.
So much guilt. Call it the guilted age. Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at the polling firm Gallup. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
And to keep this thread going, if Norman Rockwell were here, he'd paint the modern American family dining out, parents chewing, kids' face buried in a Game Boy. Now Chili's is making it official. The chain is installing touch screens on tables so Junior can disappear into more games and so parents can order more drinks, get dessert, or pay the bill without having to flag down a human. Hey, if a touchscreen is good enough to buy unleaded gasoline, why not a Chili's Presidente Margarita? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. On APM, American Public Media.
Business news. It's not all banks, budgets, and bottom lines, you know. At Marketplace, we think it can be lots of things, like...
So, maybe you've heard of the Kardashians.
iPhone and iPad app.
Christian Dior.
Wine.
We Fit.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
The NFL.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Whether you need news or the numbers or just a good laugh, join us next time for Marketplace, the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.